Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. So my dad, on December 25th, 2019, went home to be with the Lord. So that's exactly 542 days ago. Dad got to be with Jesus, and this is a good day. It's a good day because he's with our Heavenly Father. You also have a really good dad.
I have a great father, so it's really easy for me to celebrate him today and honor him. But we're fully aware that Father's Day conjures up all kinds of emotions for a lot of people. And maybe today you need to reach out to your dad, but you can't quite put your thoughts into words. Or maybe today you need to intentionally forgive your father. So whether you're online or here with us today, we want to pray for you. So can we have all the men in the house stand up?
Great idea. All the men stand up.
We would love to pray for you this morning. Father, we come before you. And first, we just want to say, Heavenly Father, we love you. We worship you and we praise you because you never change. And you are a God who is full and continuously giving us great mercy and grace and blessings. And so we thank you for that, Father. And Lord, I just want to thank you for all these men in here this morning. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that they would seek your face today and that they would listen to that still small voice speaking to them and how to not only honor you, but honor their earthly father. And Father, give them your grace to forgive. Give them their grace, your grace to honor their fathers. And as fathers today, I lift these men up before your throne. Thank you that you will pour out a double portion, an extra measure of your grace for them to have wisdom to parent, wisdom to guide, wisdom to discipline, wisdom to affirm, wisdom to provide, wisdom to love their wives. So, Father, thank you for these men. And today, we believe that every one of them in here will be mighty men for your kingdom. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. She's 15 days old. And this is the newest addition to our family. So this is Lily and Lily Adeline. This is Emily and Andrew's second child. So now we have three grandchildren here at Harborside. And it's just such a joy and delight. Doug Norris is her other grandfather. But on day one of her life, she told me I was her favorite. She did. She did. Of course. But again, we just want to say thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for welcoming our additions. What a joy. I cannot tell you what a great experience it is to be a dad, but also to be a grandfather. All right, I need to go preach. Okay. There we go. All right. I think we should just have Ethan come out and have a closing hymn and wrap the service up after all this. What do you think? Well, this morning is a topic that's not clear. It's not really controversial, but it isn't real clear. And I want to talk about this because it's a game changer. Now, if you're brand new online and you've never been to a church before and you don't understand what's going on, and if you can get 10% of this, I think you should feel good. I'm serious. So this isn't like we all have to get all of this. We all need to get some of this. And the next 5 or 6 weeks, all of us will get more of this. So again, today, no matter where you are in your level of spiritual maturity, we're going to layer this and grow and grow and grow. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, gives us this incredible perk. And Ephesians 2, verse 6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Now, that's a mouthful. First of all, it says that we've been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. What are the heavenly realms? Where are the heavenly realms? What what does that mean for your life and for my life? I live on planet Earth. It's a physical Earth. It's a globe. I'm here. It's physical. What in the world is a heavenly realm? Well, again, this really isn't controversial. The Bible talks about three different heavens. And to be able to illustrate that this morning, I'm going to try to use three different ladders. And these three different ladders will represent really the dimensions or the height of these three different heavens. But again, if you don't get all of this, get something. And get as much of this as you possibly can, because there's a lot to this. So Christ raised us up with him. He seated us with him in the heavenly realms. So what did God do? Well, first of all, God saved you. And second of all, God recruited you. So everyone that's given their lives to Christ, you are what's called saved. Your greatest problem is not paying the mortgage. Your greatest problem is not a health issue. Your greatest problem is not enough water pressure this morning in the shower. That actually happened to me this morning, okay? I don't know what happened. It's the water. It's a first world problem, but it happened to me this morning. That's not your greatest problem. Your greatest problem is actually sin, because sin separates you from your heavenly Father. And so Christ took care of our greatest problem. But then he recruits you, and he gives you opportunity, and he gives you this divine heavenly realm that's for you. Now, all of us in this world are familiar with IQ. We all understand IQ. We've heard a little bit about EQ. But what we're going to talk about this morning is really called SQ, spiritual quotient. We understand IQ. And we spend so much time trying to develop our IQ. We learn new vocabulary words. We try to learn how to do math facts. As our children, we may send our children to different tutors. And we somehow think that the greater our IQ is, the greater we can go in life. And there's some validity to that. But IQ, we know what IQ is. EQ has been another term for the last 20 years. And EQ is called emotional intelligence. Basically, it's your ability to deal with people. Your EQ skills, you might have great IQ, but you might not be very good with people. And so we figured out that if you really want to be successful in life, you need to have an IQ, but you also need to have people skills. You also need to be able to have emotional intelligence. What we're talking about today, for the next 6 weeks, though, is God has given you spiritual intelligence. That's a term that might be new. But if you've been to church for 40 years, it will be absolutely not new to you at all. It's something you've done and heard about for the last 40 years. So what in the world is, what is spiritual intelligence? Do you want to know? What is spiritual intelligence? Spiritual intelligence is simply thinking like God. That's all spiritual intelligence is. Spiritual intelligence is the art of thinking like God. Spiritual intelligence is, how do you and I have the mind of Christ at school? How do we have the mind of Christ at work? How do we have the mind of Christ in relationships? How do we have the mind of Christ making financial or business or medical decisions? That's all spiritual intelligence really is. And so I want to do something now that might get you a little bit lost. So imagine we're on a trip and we just went into a rest area. Okay, can you imagine that? We're going to get back on the main highway in just a minute, but we just took a little detour because I want to talk about how little the role of Satan has for the life of a believer. We've blown up Satan. We've given Satan all this power and all this authority, and we go around looking for Satan behind every tree. If you are a believer, Satan has absolutely no authority over your life. In fact, Jesus Christ said, all authority has been given unto me. Now, if you're not a believer, the enemy has a lot of authority over your life. And if you are a carnal believer, the enemy has authority to mess up your mind, to mess up your emotions, to mess up your will, to come into your life, and to do a bunch of crazy things. But we're at a rest area, and I just want to get this out so we can get to the three different ladders in just a minute. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, we realize that Christ disarmed all powers and authorities. We realize that Christ made a public spectacle of the enemy. We realize that if you are a believer and you're living in that heavenly realm, that seat where Christ has, you're raised up with Christ, he has very, very little authority in your life. And so Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness." Say that with me. You have been brought to fullness. If you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not in fullness. But if you're in Christ, you have the fullness. He is the head over every power and every authority. What does that say? He's the head over a few powers. He's the head over some authority. Now, it doesn't say that. It says he is the head over every power, and he's the head over every authority. And then here's Christian baptism. Here's the symbol about you dying. And here's the symbol about you being raised to walk with him in the newness of life. We baptized 49 people a couple of Sunday nights ago. It was awesome. Some of you had a lot of sin. We killed fish for 10-mile radius. Having been buried, some of you longer than that, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. I'm coming to spiritual intelligence. We worry about IQ. As parents, you're so concerned about your kids' IQ. You should really be concerned about their SQ. Because their SQ has no limit. Their IQ and the EQ is like your cell phone. It has limited capacity. When you tap into the World Wide Web, when you get your kids to tap into Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, there are no limits. It's exactly your life. Because here's what happens. You were dead. He forgave us all our sins. Look at verse 14. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Now, don't miss the next part. And having disarmed the powers and authorities. What did Jesus do on the cross? He disarmed. He disarmed. Now, if you're not in Christ, this should scare you to death. If you're in Christ, this should give you incredible confidence. He has disarmed all powers, all authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 is our theme verse today. God raised us up with Christ. All right, we're out of the rest area. We're back on the highway. Are you with me? That was a little detour, but I had to get that out of. I feel better. I don't know if you feel better, but I actually feel a whole lot better. I get so tired of hearing how powerful Satan is. It's like God and Satan are in this tug of war. Folks, he is a defeated archangel. That's all he is. He's on the same plane with Michael and with Gabriel. There were three archangels, and he is a defeated archangel. It's not that God and Satan are like, and God's going, "Guys, I hope I win, I hope I win." God's going, "I put all things under my feet." He's under my feet. You, if you're in Christ, you've been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Look at Ephesians 2:6. Now, I don't know where you sit, but I know where you can sit. And so the question today is, why give up your seat? Why give up your seat? Why would we ever give up our seat? Why would we ever just give up this incredible seat that's been given to us in the heavenly realms? You see, God raised us up with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. All right. This is not controversial. It's just not real clear in the Bible. The Bible actually describes three different heavens. And the first heaven with the first ladder would be Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the what? The heavens and the earth. And so the Bible is pretty clear that the first heaven in which we live in is this, it's the natural world. It would be the five senses. It would be what you see and what you hear and what you smell and what you taste and what you touch. This is first heaven. And everybody on earth, 9 billion people, have a first heaven seat. Everybody lives in the first heaven. But it's not the only place that there is. Now, if you're not a Christian and you're not a believer, you will have second heaven enemy come down to first heaven earth and disrupt you. But here's where the second heaven is. The second heaven is where the demons live. The second heaven is that satanic realm. The second heaven is where those demons come and go. It's called, from Ephesians chapter 6, this is, let me just read it. Is there evil? Absolutely there's evil. Ephesians 6 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the what? Heavenly realms. Don't miss that. That's the second heaven, the heavenly realms. There is a first heaven, that's this earth. There is a second heaven, which is the heavenly realms. I'm not exactly sure what this looks like. Nobody's exactly sure what this looks like. It's not controversial, it's just not clear. If you are a believer and you're not seated in your third heaven seat and you only live and dwell, you got saved, but you're not seated with Christ in the heavenlies, you bet the enemy's coming in your life. You bet the enemy's building up strongholds. You can imagine the enemy's coming to you, into your mind, your will, into your emotions. But that's not what spiritual intelligence is. Spiritual intelligence is this third ladder. Spiritual intelligence is thinking like God. Spiritual intelligence is having the mind of Christ. And so Paul's real clear about the third heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says this. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the what? The third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but God knows. So Paul reveals through his own experience that there is a third heaven, two levels above our earthly existence and one level above the satanic view. Okay, so where do we go from here? Well, let's talk about this. Where do you want to sit? Where in this world do you want to sit every single day of your life? And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says, you have a heavenly seat, even though you live in the first world, this first heaven, you're on planet Earth, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. It's what Ezekiel said. Ezekiel said, behold, a day is coming. I can't wait for the day. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit inside of you. In the book of Acts said to the disciples, by all means, don't go out and do anything. Don't do anything in your own power, but wait. The Spirit's coming, and you won't miss it. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, nobody missed it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially Mark chapter 4, 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You live here, but you also live here. You have one ear here, but you have another ear here. You have an eye here, but you have another eye here. What is your seat? Your seat is not IQ. Who cares how smart you are? Your seat is not even your ability to work with people. Your seat is in the heavenly realms. It's a third heaven perspective. My question is, why ever give up your seat? And so, where do you want to sit? And where do you want to live? And so, for those of you that never go to the secret place, you're always right here. For those of you that don't spend time praying, you're right here. For those of you that don't spend time every day searching out the scriptures, you've given up your seat. You've given up the seat that was destined for you before the ages of creation were ever designed. This is your heavenly calling. This is your heavenly perk. This is your heavenly seat. And this is what's so exciting about the Christian life, is though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war in the flesh. We have a heavenly seat designed for you that nobody can take away. This is your divine advantage. So let me ask you a couple more questions. You've been raised up with Christ. Let's go back to Ephesians 2:6 again. You've been given a heavenly seat. Again, if you're online, you're going, what's he talking about? It took me 40 years. Don't worry about this. This is your first time. Okay, don't worry about this. It's not controversial. It's just not always real clear. So let me ask you some questions. Do you want a lawyer who has great IQ but doesn't have any SQ? Do you want a doctor who's really smart here, graduated first in his or her medical, but has no SQ? I know a lot of pastors who have great IQ and but very, very little SQ. Do you want a teacher for your student, for your kids, who's really smart, has great IQ, great SQ? So what's your seat? Your seat is a heavenly realm. It's one eye here and one eye there, one ear here, one ear here. Do you want a financial planner working with your finances and all your investments who can't hear from a heavenly calling, who can't see from a divine seat? Do you want a financial planner who has no vision of the kingdom of God in your life? You see, this is what you have. This is why spiritual intelligence is so valuable. It's your divine advantage. And so let me just keep going. Would you ever buy or sell a business without spiritual intelligence? Would you ever take a job or leave a job without spiritual intelligence? Would you ever move from one state to another state without clearly hearing the voice of your Father? Why would you give up your seat? This is why we talk about the secret place all the time. If you're not in the secret place every single day, you are kicked out of your seat because you can't hear from your Heavenly Father. You can't hear what the Spirit says. You can't hear what's going on. The most important half hour, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of your day is your time with God, asking God to give you clarity for your divine advantage on what's next in your life. So why give up your seat? Oh, there's billions of Christians who have accepted Christ and Christ has forgiven them and Christ has shed his blood for them. And there's billions, probably 2 billion Christians today in the world. And they're in the first heaven only. My heart for you, my heart for every mother in this room is to parent right here. To ask God how to parent your son, your daughter. My heart is for every grandfather in this room to be a grandfather from this seat. Dads, men, every man in this room, it's Father's Day. And as men, you have jobs to provide, and you have jobs to protect, and you have jobs to lead, and you have jobs. This is your divine advantage. See, we're not just talking about you spending time with God every day because it's the right thing to say. It's where you get your fuel. It's where you get your electricity. It's where you get your spiritual guidance and divine encounter. And so again, let me just kind of rehash this a little differently. Where do you want to sit for the rest of your life? That's really what we're asking. Where is it that you want to sit? And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 says this. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. God has so much to show you. His incomparable grace. He has so much to show you. This is what's so exciting. He wants to tell you how to parent. You see, we're solving problems from a first heaven perspective when you can solve problems from a third heaven perspective. You've got some problems that that first heaven people are going to tell you how to solve them, but if you'll just patiently listen to the third heaven says, that's really a bad idea. It sounds good. It looks good. It makes a lot of sense. But let me tell you what. This is what you should do. You see, most people solve their problems with IQ and EQ. And that'll get you somewhere. Because IQ and EQ is better than being stupid, right? Let's be honest. IQ and EQ will get you something. And people that have good people skills, that's better than people that just look at you like, you know, you shot their dog. I mean, you want people that are nice to you. We're talking about a third heaven perspective in your life that's far greater than you could ever dream or ever imagine. Now, maybe you think I'm crazy. So I'm going to give you one more verse that talks about the heavenly realm. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us, where? In the heavenly realms. Have you ever seen that before? You ever noticed? I bet you've read over that 50 times. Anybody read over that? Not. Yep, thank you. All seven of you get to go to heaven today, okay? It's not controversial. It's just not clear. There's a heavenly realm. And the Apostle Paul, in the first chapter, talks about 11 different blessings. We'll come back to that during this series. 11 blessings that you get, not here, but you get those blessings over here. Oh, I wish somebody would have taught this to me when I was a first-time dad. I wish when Erica, who's in the room right now, was just born, I wish somebody would have taught this to me when I brought Erica home from the hospital. I actually got to feed Erica her first bottle. Danita had a wet tap, the spinal that went too far, and she's leaking spinal fluid, and she was kind of messed up for about a couple of days. I changed Erica's first diaper, okay? I wish somebody would have told me this 31 years ago. But I'm telling you now, I'm giving this to you today, that you have an opportunity to solve problems and issues from a different perspective. Is it any wonder in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, that Paul says what he does? Now, looking through this lenses, listen to these verses, and we'll come back to these during the series, but listen to these. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And look at this. Here's spiritual intelligence. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Another translation says understanding. The greatest Christian who ever lived outside of Jesus is praying for these people. I keep asking for spiritual intelligence, revelation, more. I don't know what your relationship problems are today, but I guarantee you, you're going to mess them up if you solve them from the first heaven. I guarantee you, you're going to have success if you solve them from the third heaven. I don't know what your financial situation is today, but if you got financial problems, go ahead and try to solve them from the first heaven like you've always done, and you won't get anywhere. And you ask, and you get into that secret place, and you ask. You say, Lord, reveal to me your spirit of wisdom and revelation. I don't know what health issues you have today, but I certainly wouldn't go just to a doctor and solve them from my first heaven. I would be over here saying, okay, I take the great information from really smart people. Now tell me what to do. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation for my health conditions. I wouldn't listen to just everybody on parenting. I wouldn't listen to everybody on grandparenting. I would listen to good advice. There's good wisdom in this world. There is good wisdom from the first earth. I would get in that secret place and I would say, help me solve my problems. You see, every one of you today has problems. And tomorrow, you will have problems. And the day after that, you will have problems. And you will either solve your problems from the first heaven perspective or from the third heaven perspective. And if you choose to solve them from the first heaven perspective, then the second heaven realm has access to your mind. The second heaven realm has access to your heart, and you don't want that. And so I'm asked, you know, now as a father of three and a grandfather of three, I'm asked now, like, well, what is your role now? Your kids are in their 30s and their 20s, and we got three grandkids under the age of three. It's crazy at our house, man. It's like vacation Bible school. It's planned chaos. I love it. I absolutely love all these. And then we have other, we had five under three at our house a week ago Saturday night. The house is still standing. It's still there. But I'm asked, so what do you do now? What's your role? Well, my role with my children, men, is to be a good listener. My role with my daughter, my son, and my youngest daughter, it's not to tell them what to do. It's to be a really good listener. I've gone from parenting to hopefully coaching with my older children. But my role with my grandchildren is what I want to talk about. My role with my grandchildren is prayer. And I spend every day praying that Asher and Callie and Lily will have a heart for God. Oh, give them a heart for God. I am far more concerned about SQ than I am their IQ. Oh, we can teach them C spot run. We can teach them 2 + 2. That's easy. I take my older two, Callie and Asher, in my arms. We go up and down Safety Harbor, and I teach them EQ. We speak first. We say goodbye. We look people in the eye. I teach them EQ. That's great. This is what counts. Their ultimate success will only be determined by their SQ. Their ultimate success as my grandchildren, our family, will be determined not by how smart they are or how good they are with people. Their ultimate success will be, can they hear from their Heavenly Father? Do they have the mind of Christ? Can they navigate through life solving problems today and tomorrow and every day with spiritual intelligence? A couple of years ago, it was the Rays and the Boston Red Sox, and it was a baseball game, and this was about 5 or 6 years ago, and the baseball game was the game that would decide who would go into the playoffs. And so it was a one-game elimination, and it was at the Trop, and a friend of mine invited me, and I had the best seat in the house. I'm not exaggerating. I am looking in, I am on the corner, on the rail, I am looking into the dugout of all the Boston Red Sox people. I'm the closest seat in the entire Trop to the field. And my friend, Tom Foley, Starbucks friend, how it started off Starbucks, now they come to church, he and Marta come to Harborside. Tom's the third base coach. Tom had been the third base coach the longest of any third base coach actually in the major leagues. It was like 11 years he was the third base coach for the Rays. And so Tom told me, anytime I'm at a game, don't mention his name because people are yelling at him. He said, mention my wife's name. So it's the third inning and it got kind of quiet and he's right, you know, about from here to you, and I just yelled out his wife's name. He looks at me, says, hey, Kurt, waves at me, calls me by name. That's the third inning. The fifth inning, he comes over to me and he says, hey, you want a baseball? And he throws me a championship baseball. This is the fifth inning. Now, I'm sitting there with all these guys, you know, big shots, Raymond James, restaurant owners. And this one restaurant owner, he said he'd had a little too much to drink. He'd had more than one cold one, okay? And he said, who the hell are you? It was so funny. And I said, I'm just somebody that knows Tom. Okay? I think that's the answer. Who are you? You might be smart. You might be good with people. But you really want to be somebody who knows the Heavenly Father. You're somebody that knows God. You're somebody that knows the moving and the cadence of the Holy Spirit. That's what's available to you. And so I just really want to encourage you. that you can live here, and you don't really have a choice. It's where you live. It's the only place you live. But there's some place that's far, far better than that. And we're going to talk about that in the days and weeks to come, okay? So you don't have to get all this, but you need to be stirred by some of this, and we'll grow. And don't send me emails. Don't ask questions. We're going to answer questions the next 5 or 6 weeks. But step one is giving your life to Christ. It's always giving your life to Christ. You can't even get to the third ladder without giving your life to Christ. So I want to encourage you today, men and women, let's stand together. We're going to wrap this up. Let's stand together. And if you've never given your life to Christ, we're going to give you that opportunity right now. And it's simply this: Jesus, I give my life to you. I can't even get out of the first seat without giving my life to you. And so, Jesus, today, if there are people in this room who are not yet believers, I pray that right now, Jesus, I give my life to you. You are the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only true God, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be sure and tell God today, Happy Father's Day. Have a great day. Okay.